This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. To my right, it is the sports machine, Sean Levine. Directly in front of me is Rob Brenton. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. So go ahead and keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. Before we do all that, let's get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Go!
Biggest news story of the day is Cam Newton is signing with the New England Patriots. A one-year deal worth up to $7.5 million gets all his incentives. Former Patriot Jermaine Wiggins was on WEEI in Boston this morning, and he was psyched about the move.
I thought I was out, but now I'm back in. Bill Belichick does it again. He brings me back in. I am back on the Patriots bandwagon after the signing of Cam Newton, because now you have a legitimate team that can win the AFC East and make a real push come the playoffs to potentially get into a Super Bowl and winning the whole thing. Because like Fitzy said, you got Cam Newton, who still, in my opinion, got gas in the tank and was an MVP. And now Josh McDaniels can do a lot of things with that type of talent.
Let me ask you guys this question. Maybe this is hit number one. How much gas left in the tank do we think Cam Newton has? Like, I think Tom Brady has. Gaslight is on. It's just a question if you can get home enough gas left in the tank. Same thing with Phillip Rivers. Are we saying that Cam has like a fourth of a tank? Because if Cam has a fourth of a tank, that might be good for one season.
Yeah, he's got like a sixth of a tank. It's basically on E, but he's driving a Honda Civic, so you never really know. Like, man, I've had my Honda Civic about an inch below E and made it home from, where was I? I was all the way out in Olathe. It was a 28-minute drive, so you never really know. I mean, the last time we saw Cam Newton healthy was 2018. He had 21 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Not exactly lighting the world on fire. The season before that, 22-16. The year before that, 19-14. And that was a healthy Cam Newton. So he was averaging about 20 touchdown passes per year. Now, part of Cam Newton, what the reason you get him is for those two legs that he has. Also, he's one of the most dynamic when it comes to being a dual threat quarterback. I think sometimes, Carrington, we always go back to the year that Cam Newton was great and the Panthers were 15-1.
That's the only great year he's ever had.
The only. And he was great that year. I mean, 35 touchdowns, 10 picks. He was phenomenal and had his team pretty damn close to winning a Super Bowl. Besides that, he's been pretty good, averaging about 20 touchdowns, but not great. He's probably going to be that guy again. I'd say Cam Newton's a 20-touchdown, 12-interception guy this season.
I mean, the question for Cam is he going to be healthy enough for you to get the value of him? His worth has never been in the passing numbers. He only has one season in which he's thrown for more than 25 touchdowns, and that was the MVP year that you talked about. He's always been a guy who's going to throw double-digit interceptions. He's not a guy that's going to complete a high percentage of passes. Even in this new offense with Josh McDaniels, I don't think that Cam is going from a guy who was completing 59% of his passes in his NFL career to now a guy who's going to complete 69% of his passes. I don't think that's who he is. But is he going to be healthy enough where you get the value of his legs and his rushing ability? That's the question with Cam. We know from a passing standpoint, best case scenario is he gives you 24 touchdowns. But can he give you 700 yards rushing? Can he give you 800 yards rushing? If you get that, you get healthy, productive Cam Newton. If you get the same Cam that we saw in Carolina last season that ran the ball five times in two games, you are wasting your time because he's never going to be a good enough passer for you.
He had about 500 yards on the ground last time he was healthy. The year before that, he had 750. Again, you want to talk about low risk, high reward? The risk is Cam Newton could completely turn into ashes, fall apart right in front of you. Then you have to go with Jared Stidham, and you don't pay him anything. He's on a league minimum contract, very low risk. And to me, Cedar, I don't know if you agree with this, but the reward is if he's right and you get a dual threat quarterback, then you get one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league, at least on a one-year contract. You get him for a year. Maybe he can do what Mike Vick did that year when he got out of prison for Philadelphia. Everybody went, oh, damn, he's still got a little bit left. And if you get that, at what they're paying him, this was a no-brainer for the Patriots.
Two. On his podcast, Adam Schefter said this about what Cam Newton's market was.
Is that Cam Newton did not have any other offers from any other teams. There was nobody that was calling him and lighting up his phone, trying to recruit him to a certain city. There was one other team that did have one conversation with him. It was very brief. It didn't go very far. But the Cleveland Browns did speak to Cam Newton at one point in time. But those talks never really went anywhere. They did with New England. And Cam winds up on a one-year contract with the Patriots, which makes all the sense in the world.
Carrington, are you surprised that no one else talked to Cam?
I mean, this is going to be one of those matrix situations where it's either going to be the red or the blue pill. Either the Patriots know something that the rest of the league doesn't know, or they bought a lemon. Like, there's no other way to look at it. I'm surprised when you think about the scarcity at the position and what Cam ended up signing for, that a team like Jacksonville wasn't more into it, that a team like Los Angeles wasn't more into it before they got Justin Herbert earlier this year, that Chicago, why would you then trade for
Nick Foles,
if you were in the quarterback market and Cam was there? It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me how Cam can sign for so cheap, yet there be such little interest. It's one thing to actually sign him. It sounds to me like two teams really did their due diligence in him. You're telling me more teams did their due diligence when it came to Tom Brady, who's 43 years old and clearly declining, than what happened with Cam Newton? That just doesn't add up to me.
And willing to pay Brady $24 million a year, and a team's willing to pay Phillip Rivers even more than that. You nailed it. Cam Newton's a Craigslist car. I bought some cars off Craigslist before that are great. One time I bought a Honda for $428, and it lasted me for 3.5 years till I rear-ended somebody. It was awesome. And then I bought cars for several $1,000s that barely made it out of the driveway, and you got screwed. You don't really know which one of those cars Cam Newton is right now. I guess I'll disagree a little bit with those teams that you mentioned. If you're Cleveland, or if you're Jacksonville, or if you're Washington, at least you're convinced that you've got your quarterback for the now. Like, Cleveland will tell you that Baker Mayfield's going to get every chance this year. Washington, they'll say, well, we drafted Dwayne Haskins with the top 15 pick a couple of years ago. And Jacksonville let Nick Foles walk so they could see what they actually have in Gardner Minshew. The problem is, see, that if any of those teams got Cam Newton, then all three of those aforementioned quarterbacks would constantly, from day one, be looking over their shoulder. That's not the case right now in New England, where I'd be shocked if Jared Stidham's looking over his shoulder because he's going to be the backup.
There's no harm in bringing Cam in at that price. And if your quarterback can't deal with the summer quarterback controversy, then he has no chance of being a great quarterback in the league.
I don't think teams knew that this is going to be the price, though. I think that's why New England played it perfect, because they got him as cheap as possible.
I mean, it's based on what Shep said.
That's true.
It's hard to know the price if you don't
call. That's true.
And it sounds to me Jacksonville didn't even entertain the possibility and engage in conversation with Cam Newton. Like, Gardner Minshew showed them so much last season that it's crazy to think that Cam Newton could be better. That last year, Dwayne Haskins, especially when you factor in the history between him and Ron Rivera, Dwayne Haskins did something that justifies that you can't bring anybody in. Nobody can be competition. If you lose the competition, then you're not a legitimate NFL starter.
So why do you have a problem with those teams who are probably going to suck anyway, and not have anything to say about Tampa Bay, who chose Tom Brady, or Indy, who chose Phillip Rivers? Do we think those guys are a much safer bet than Cam Newton? I don't.
I mean, you know how I feel about Tom Brady. We ain't got to go down that road. But yeah, I'd rather have Cam Newton at this price than what in the Indianapolis paying Phillip Rivers. At this price, if you're telling me I can get Cam at a maximum of 7.5 or Rivers at 21.5, yeah, I'd much rather have Cam.
Absolutely
much
no
rather
debate.
Have Cam. But you already know how I feel about Brady.
So we can either get Cam Newton, Or we can pay somebody three times that amount, and that somebody's name is either Philip Rivers or Tom Brady. I think I'm going to take my shot on a very cheap Cam Newton.
Three.
Over the weekend, Scott Miller of Bleacher Report was on with Carrington. He had this to say about a dark horse team in baseball.
Yeah, I would go with young, talented teams. Chicago White Sox, perhaps in the American League, maybe even Kansas City. National League, 162-game season is designed to reward teams that have depth and teams that know how to navigate a six-month season, the rigors, the grind. So that's why so often you'll see a team jump out like a rabbit in April and May, especially young teams. They're not called the dog days of August for no reason. Oftentimes, those young, talented teams start to hit a wall by August.
Sean,
don't go to Sean.
I'm going to say, are you
Bob? He's not Holt Harrison.
Are you Bob?
Hang on. He said Sean. What's up, Rob?
Are you buying the optimism that Hope Harrison is selling?
Cherrington over here? No.
You going to buy in on this?
No.
The only teams we can be optimistic are the Chiefs or Kansas basketball. We
realistic.
Can't be optimistic on any other teams in sports, just those two.
Was there a realistic chance? I mean, KU was probably going to be the number one overall seed in the tournament that they won the national championship. Was that realistically for me to say?
Yeah, it was realistic.
Okay. When I said that the Chiefs they were probably going to win the Super Bowl, is that a real? We know that happened.
It was very realistic.
Do you really think it's realistic what you're doing and saying that the Royals have a chance to make the playoffs? Look, I appreciate it, glass half full. That's my favorite kind of Carrington.
Absolutely, they have a chance. I've never said they are making the playoffs. I've never come on here and guaranteed.
But are you saying they went from 0.0001 to 0.002, or are you saying that they actually have a puncher's chance?
I think they have more than a puncher's chance. I am telling you, you can book this. By the end of this baseball season, if they get to the end, there will be one team in the American League. There's one team in the National League that we will look back and say that team only made the playoffs because of the coronavirus.
And is that your theory? Is that your rationale?
So why can't that team be the Royals? Okay. Like, no one can tell me why that team can't be the Royals. I can tell you why it can be the Royals. I can tell you why it can. I think they're going to be able to score. I think you're somewhat underselling their starting pitching. Not that it's going to be great. I don't think it's going to be disastrous. And I think their bullpen is decent. I don't think it's great. I think their bullpen is decent. And if you can get off to a somewhat decent start, I think you give yourself a chance. And now you don't play all the teams. So you don't play Houston. You don't play the Yankees. You get your own division and the NL Central. Their schedule's breaking in a way that typically baseball schedules don't break. That give yourself a chance. That's all I've said. So as long as they have a chance, I'm going to sell hope and optimism. So when you talk to me, refer to me as two things. C.Hope or hashtag Hope Harrison. I'm not listening to anything else.
What happened to Buzz Killington? Because I got used to him, and now this guy's kind of creeping me out across
from me. That's the thing is, I've never been Buzz Killington. It's just when I'm up against you that pick the Chiefs to go 16-0, and every player on their team's the best at their position, I got to be Buzz Killington for trying to say, slow down, let's relax.
All I said was that they had the best quarterback, that they had the best tight end, that they had the best safety. That's not even me being a homer. And I'm not saying I'm not a homer.
You just argued the last segment that their defense was better than the team that had the number one defense in the NFL and allowed 14 points a game.
No, anybody that was listening knows that that's what you said. You said, what you're saying is that I fought back. I said, no, that's actually not what I'm saying.
I'm just saying is, I mean, maybe I'm crazy. If you argue that a team has a defense better than the team that had the best defense last year, it's not crazy to come to the conclusion. Like, let's say I come to the conclusion that I think you're faster than Usain Bolt. It's not crazy to then think that you're the fastest person in the world if you're faster than Usain Bolt. He's the fastest.
Well, Mike Honda, I don't think at this point is faster than him. My problem is this pitching staff, and I don't believe that you believe in them. Brad Keller, Danny Duffy, Jacob Junis, who knows who else they're going to throw out there. And then this bullpen.
For 60 games, I absolutely believe in them.
I hope you're right.
For 162.
I'm going to play along.
You're right. For 162, I would not believe in them. But for 62, you're asking Danny Duffy to be good for 6 weeks. That's all you're asking Danny Duffy to do. Have we seen Danny Duffy do that before?
Once or twice.
Have you ever seen Danny Duffy literally, get hot for 6 weeks?
Literally, Rob, have answer his question. It's happened once or twice in six years?
It has happened, but it has, to Sean's point, not been a considerable amount of times, but once or twice, yes, it's happened.
Everybody that you named, I can give you a six-week stretch in recent memory of when they've been
and
hot.
And you're expecting that, what you're saying is that
they don't need everybody to be hot. They can take turns. You don't got to be hot for the full 60. Duffy can't give me 30 games of regular Danny Duffy, and then the next month Jacob Junis do that? I'm not asking everybody on the team to hit 400. I'm not here being unrealistic.
No, I'm not worried about the offense. I'm not worried about the offense at all.
Yeah, so we know they can score.
Yeah, they can score.
They can, which is half the battle.
Uh-huh.
They can score. That's half of it. And now we're asking their starting pitching to be decent. We're asking their bullpen to be decent.
That's the leap of faith that
for
I can't take with
months.
You. I wish
for
I could.
For 2 months.
What are you calling it, Cheerington? I want to be
no,
Cheerington.
I'm
just
not
being
Cheerington.
Realistic, Sean.
I am hope. Can we get some of this realistic shot in other areas outside of the Royals? We never get it with talking about the Chiefs. We've never got it talking about
KU. You mean the Super Bowl champions? You mean the number one overall seed? Yes, you're right. I feel different when I project championships when I'm talking about KU basketball, the Chiefs, and the Royals.
We don't talk about
you
no
see
other
the
teams
difference
on
here,
the show.
Right? You see the difference here, though.
I'm just saying, the only teams we talk about, you're either super positive or any team not in Kansas City, they stink. You don't like any team in the NFL.
No, there's middle ground. Sporting Kansas City. Middle ground. Somewhere in the middle.
Stop it.
Somewhere in the middle.
Stop
it. Probably not going to win the championship. Probably a playoff team. If the Chiefs get in.
You only like two teams in the NFL, Arizona and Kansas City.
I don't even like Arizona. I just think they're going to be good. I like one team. Yes. And I do think that the Chiefs have the most talent. And I do think that the Royals, realistically, when it comes to their pitching rotation, don't is the word that I'm looking for. Don't have a lot of talent.
We'll see.
We'll see.
All I'm saying is they give themselves a chance.
I've never hoped that I was wrong and you are right more than this. If the Royals can keep us exciting and help out ratings and Kansas City can get a buzz.
The good thing about this is, I will say this. The good thing is, the Royals are not going to have to do a whole lot to get you on board. I mean, one good week. They go 5-2 out of the stretch. You will 100% be on
Isn't
my side.
Everybody
they don't got to do a whole lot.
In the whole town? I think if the Royals get off
Wouldn't
to a hot start.
Wouldn't you rather be early? I'm early, too.
I'd rather be right.
So I'm saying, if they're good, if the Royals are good, you know who's going to get the credit for it? Me. That's who. I want all the credit. Because I'm taking that stance now
See,
when it's the difficult
I'm teaching
stance to
it.
Take.
See, you're learning from me. What you do is you make the prediction, and if you're wrong, all you guys come to the radio and say, but then we're supposed to be good anyway. So you're sitting in a pretty good spot here, my man.
Yeah, I'm saying all of us could be in the same spot. Rob, you're on the
well,
same
Rob
spot
wants
with
to be
the Royals,
right.
too.
Rob wants to be right. He wants to say.
If the Royals start 5-2, I'm going to play Debbie Downer on this show because that room is going to have a parade if they go 5-2.
No, nah, give me 10 games, a sixth of the season, and then I'll get excited. If they're like 7-3 for 10, then I'll say, all right, maybe C-Dot's right, and they got a chance.
I'm just saying, it's crazy, and I understand it's very different. It's crazy to me that the bars the Royals got to jump through. Let the Chiefs start 2-0. You're talking undefeated heading into week 3. Let the Chiefs win their first two football games. You guys see Pat?
Just tell me if you notice a difference here. Pat Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Frank Clark, Tyron Matthews.
I just want to know. Let me ask you.
Brad Keller,
let me ask you a
Danny
simple
Duffy,
question.
Jacob Junis, Mike Montgomery, Glenn Sparkman.
I'm just asking.
Like, do you see what you see? Like, you know.
Okay. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How many Super Bowls does Patrick Mahomes have
right now?
Yeah.
One.
How many World Series does Danny Duffy have?
I guess he was part of one.
So they both have championship pedigree. Okay. Is what we're saying.
Right.
Both of them got championship DNA. Have they both had parades in Kansas City?
No, you got me.
Have they both been part of championship teams?
Right, yeah.
All right, then. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Tyron Matthew doesn't have more Super Bowl wins than Danny Duffy has World Series.
No, they got the
We're
same.
We're talking a team with championship DNA. Salvi, World Series MVP. Tyron Matthew doesn't have any postseason MVP awards.
Patrick Mahomes does.
Show them the same level of optimism. That's why they call me Hope Harrison. That's why I'm C. Hope in these streets.
All right, so they play 60 games.
60.
What's your number? How many do they win? Because Vegas says they're going to win 24.5. What do you say, Hope?
I'm not worried about that.
Exactly.
I'm not worried about that.
Put your number on it. Put your name on it.
I'm not worried
about it.
Give me a number.
It's easy.
I'm not worried about
Give me a number.
That.
32? 34?
They're going to have a chance to make the playoffs.
He won't do it.
They're going to have a chance to make the playoffs. That's all I'm selling.
I wish I believe you believe
That's
that.
All I'm selling is they're
right,
going to have a chance to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. For a while.
I did this poll on the internet that I'm sure will excite you. Who is the third best team in the AFC? The Patriots won with 27%. The Texans, they came in second at 25%. The Titans came in third with 24.4%. Very happy to know that everyone on this show is on the same board. The Tennessee, they got regression city written all over. There's no team in the NFL that the regression light is blinking more than the Tennessee Titans.
Those Texans, man, without DeAndre Hopkins, they were down to, they were up 24-0.
The Titans, the Titans went on the road last year, on the road, and won in New England in the playoffs, in Baltimore, and were up in the second quarter against the Kansas City Chiefs on the road in the AFC Championship game. If there's any team that's going to go from hot to not, I'm telling you, it is the Tennessee Titans. There's nothing in the league I am more convinced of this year. I am more convinced that Tennessee will miss the playoffs than I am of Kansas City winning the Super Bowl. If you're telling me one thing, I absolutely guarantee it. It is Tennessee misses the playoffs.
No, because Tennessee always, I mean, they always, they go 9-7 and they end up making the playoffs and they get hot at the right time at the end of the year. And I actually believe that Derrick Henry is probably a top 4 or 5 running back. Didn't just get hot the second half of last year. I think I like his skill set. So I think that they're probably another 9-7 football team. To me, the team that's got regression written all over them is in that division. And like I said, it's the Texans. I mean, are we sure that Deshaun Watson belongs in that same conversation with Lamar Jackson and with Dak Prescott as kind of that second best young tier of quarterback? I know you're smiling right now. I told you so. Well, maybe you're right about this guy. Deshaun Watson is really, really good, but he had 26 touchdowns last year. He had 26 touchdown passes the year before that. And then it feels like he's been around for a long time. The year before that, he was a rookie. So we're only talking about him entering year 4 here. Man, I'm not saying it's make or break it because he's Deshaun Watson. He's going to get paid. 28 teams would love to have him, but he doesn't have his number one target. Bill O'Brien now has more power. And you want to talk about confidence. The last time Deshaun Watson was on the football field, he had a 24-0 lead, and his team ended up getting their asses kicked. To me, that's the team in the division, maybe even in the NFL, that's got 7-9, 8-8 written all over him.
If I still had to pick on who I think the third best team in the AFC is, I still think it's the Buffalo Bills. I think you can pretty much flip a coin on who you think has more talent, either the Patriots or the Ravens or the Chiefs. I think the Ravens have slightly more talent if we're talking 1 through 53, but Kansas City has Patrick Mahomes. So flip a coin. I don't feel like arguing it. Third, I think it's the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo is solely dependent on, is their quarterback going to take a step forward? If Buffalo's quarterback takes a step forward, they are in the conversation with Kansas City and Baltimore. They're in the conversation. Not better than those teams. They are in the conversation. But there's always going to be their gap because there's such a big gap between their quarterback and the quarterbacks of those other two teams that I mentioned. But Buffalo has all the ingredients of being a team that would give a team like Kansas City fits or a team like Baltimore fits. They can run the football effectively. They play really good defense. They're really well coached where they don't make mistakes and beat themselves. And that's not a place I would want to go on the road for a pivotal game. I would not want to go on the road late in the season and play Buffalo. I would not want to go into Buffalo and play a playoff game and face that crowd. So Buffalo is one of those dangerous teams where if their quarterback takes a step forward, if it can work with Stephon Diggs, I can see them being an 11-5, 12-4 team that you don't want to play in the playoffs.
I was a fake Buffalo Bills fan last year for a day. So I went out to Parkville to Al's Wings. Al's family is actually from Buffalo. Probably the best Buffalo Wings that I've had in Kansas City. No problem there. And then I watched the football game, and I remembered that it's a lot better being a real Chiefs fan than a fake Buffalo fan because they can't score. Like, I do agree. I like their coach. I like their quarterback. I really like their defense. But do they have enough weapons on the offensive side? Because let's not pretend like this is the old school NFL where a good running game and a good defense is enough. If you can put up 35 points, 35, 38 points against the Chiefs, then you got a chance. And if you can't, then you're not going to. So I don't see Buffalo as a real threat. Do I think that they're a decent football team with a decent roster and maybe the best team in the division? Yeah, I'll go with all that. But if you told me that the Chiefs are back in the AFC Championship game this year, but instead of it being New England or Tennessee or Baltimore, that it's that squad, I'd be pretty damn surprised.
So we listened to Boston Sports Talk earlier in the show, and we'll be joined by Alex Reamer. He works at WEEI. He'll join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Here's Jermaine Wiggins. He was on WEEI. He thinks that the Pats are Super Bowl contenders after this move.
I thought I was out, but now I'm back in. Bill Belichick does it again. He brings me back in. I am back on the Patriots bandwagon after the signing of Cam Newton because now you have a legitimate team that can win the AFC East and make a real push come the playoffs to potentially get into a Super Bowl and winning the whole thing. Because like Fitzy said, you got Cam Newton, who still, in my opinion, got gas in the tank and was an MVP. And now Josh McDaniels can do a lot of things with that type of talent.
My question very simply this season when we're evaluating the Kansas City Chiefs schedule is going to be one question. Can you score 30? If you can't score 30, you do not have a realistic chance of beating a healthy Kansas City Chiefs. Now, who knows what the season brings? We saw last year that they didn't really score that middle part when everybody was banged up, but it was pretty clear why their offense wasn't very potent the fourth through seventh game of the season last year. Can you score 30? If you ask Boston fans, if you ask Patriots fans, can this New England team score 30? I think the answer still has to be no. From a skill position standpoint, I think they're one of the five worst teams in the NFL. They didn't run the football effectively last year. Their offensive line wasn't good enough, and they don't have any dynamic playmakers on the outside. I like Julian Edelman, but if that 34-year-old wide receiver is your best and most talented wide receiver, you don't really have that good of a team when it comes to skill position and dynamic threats on the outside. And especially if you can double team Julian Edelman, like we saw teams do last year, and then bet Mohamed Sanu can't beat you, or bet that N'Keal Harry, the second year guy out of Arizona State can't beat you. So I don't think defending the Patriots, even with Cam, is going to be that hard, especially if Cam can't run the football effectively and provide that dimension. So I understand being optimistic about Cam if you're a Patriots fan, but we got to slow down the Super Bowl conversation. They are still firmly in tier two until proven otherwise.
And the truth is, if you score 30, you're probably going to lose. You're probably going to lose by double digits. The Chiefs will beat you 42-30 or something like that. And it's not easy to put up 30 points on this defense. You're talking about a Chiefs defense last year that when the weather got cold and December rolled around, they averaged giving up 11 points per game in December and 14 points per game in the playoffs. So I don't think anybody's going to put up 31, 35, 40, 53 like the Rams did a couple of years ago. This is a completely different defense. And the baseline for the Chiefs, like, I know you say 30 because you don't want to get too unrealistic, but they put up 30 last year when they didn't have Eric Fisher and LDT and Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins. And now they added Clyde Edwards-Helaire. The Chiefs' offense last year, when they were healthy and the playoffs rolled around, averaged 39.8 points per game. We can round that up to 40. So you say 30, I say 40. Tomato, tomato. I don't think you're going to beat this team, especially at Arrowhead, unless you put up a big-ass number.
Yeah, I think it really depends on how good your defense is. Like last year, I think that San Francisco had a chance to beat them. They just couldn't handle it defensively. Like, and then they allowed too many opportunities for Kansas City to get back in there. So that's why I think scoring 30. Now, I'm not saying that you can have a porous defense, but if you got to be able to at least beat the Chiefs by scoring 31 points. Like, you're not beating this team 27-24. The history would not suggest in an important game that you're going to be able to do so. I don't think that question got answered for New England. We'll see if they continue to make more moves, and we can certainly revisit this conversation. Baltimore can score 30 on the Kansas City Chiefs. They have the offensive talent and firepower and skill players to do so. There's teams in the NFC that I think could score 30 on the Chiefs. I don't really think it's that many teams in the AFC that could answer that question. Coming up next, we'll head to Boston and talk to Alex Reamer from WEEI. What's the reaction and response to Cam Newton being a Patriot? We'll find out coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2-6.
Back in on The Drive. Thanks so much for listening on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll go inside the mind of the machine, but let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Alex Reamer. He works for WEEI. He also hosts on CBS Sports Radio, and he is based in Boston. Alex, really appreciate you coming on. Given Cam's personality, are you surprised that Belichick made this move to go sign Cam Newton?
I mean, it's surprising that it happened now because you're right. It really did seem like, I mean, we're about a month away from when training camp is supposed to start, that it was going to be Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer, and a lot of the beat writers have spent their entire springs writing a lot of puff pieces about Jared Stidham and how much the Patriots believe in him and et cetera. But, you know, I think when you look at Belichick's history, this fits into what he does. I mean, it's the definition of a low-risk, high-reward signing. It's only for 1 year. He signed to the minimum. He can earn up to $7.5 million with incentives. I mean, remember, Cam Newton, there is a reason why he was available at the end of June. He didn't play last year, hasn't been effective since the first half of 2018, and really since MVP season, there have been a lot more, there have been a lot of peaks and valleys with him, of course. So, I think the timing is a little surprising, but if you look at the actual move, this fits into Belichick's MO. It really does.
What's been the fan reaction? Because that's a fan base that's gotten to see the best quarterback of all time for the last 15, 16, 17 years. How do they feel about the new guy, Cam Newton?
Yeah, I mean, as I was saying, I think that fans are excited, which is strange because you would say, wow, the guy replaces Tom Brady. Boy, what a tough job that is. And, you know, make no mistake, if the Patriots are 4-12 and, you know, Cam is hurt and terrible and Jared Stidham can't cut it, I think there will be and the Buccaneers are winning, I think there will be certainly a lot of people wondering why couldn't they just get another deal done with Brady. But right now, I think there is excitement because, let's be honest, if you're a fan, who would you rather watch, Cam Newton or Jared Stidham week one? Stidham could be here for the long haul. I think a lot of people are kind of salivating over the prospect of seeing Cam Newton. And the other thing is, too, guys, it's something different. I mean, fans want to see something new. I mean, the styles that Cam Newton and Tom Brady play, when Cam is healthy, really couldn't be much different. And I think a lot of fans are excited to see what Josh McDaniels, as you guys were saying, can do with pretty much everywhere in the NFL except here in New England. So there is a lot of excitement around what can happen here.
There are three things in life, and we all know that's death, taxes, and the Patriots are going to win the AFC East. It was all this talk about Buffalo and Josh Allen. Now that they've got Cam Newton in the fold, should the Patriots be favored to win that division again?
That's the question of the day. I'm going to say yes, and it's tough because, again, Cam is far from a proven commodity right now. I mean, again, he missed all of last year due to injury. He was hurt for the second half of 2018, too. His 2017 wasn't very good. So, I mean, there's so many questions about Cam Newton. I mean, you know, it wouldn't be shocking if he was cut in training camp. I mean, that's how Belichick operates, and that's what this contract does. But, you know, when you look at the Patriots, they had the best defense in the NFL last year. And, you know, even before signing Cam Newton, it's apparent that Belichick had a plan. He never does anything on a whim. The Patriots the last couple of years have really shifted to more of a run-based attack. That's how they won the Super Bowl in 2018. They franchised their left guard, Joe Tooney. They spent a lot of money up front the last couple of years. So, you know, I think, you know, you don't want to bet against Belichick. And if Cam Newton can be even 75-80% of what he was, Nikhil Harry, last year's first-round pick, hopefully is healthy this year at receiver. The Bills. I mean, are you going to bet on Josh Allen and Sean McDermott or Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, and a healthy Cam Newton? I mean, I think that, yeah, this does tilt the pendulum back to the Patriots. I do think that.
Alex, do you think there's a chance that this was the plan all along? Because I thought they were going to draft a quarterback, and then I thought, oh, well, they'll find somebody in free agency or they'll make a trade that nobody's expecting. But now they got Cam Newton last minute for as cheap as possible. Is this what they were planning on doing the whole time?
I think that they were planning on seeing what was out there come June, early July. I don't know if it was Cam Newton specifically. And frankly, guys, I do think that they would have been comfortable starting Jared Stidham this year because, as you mentioned, they didn't draft a quarterback. The only other signing they made was Brian Hoyer. So I don't think Cam Newton specifically was the plan, but he certainly was an option. And I think Belichick knew that, you know, there's always going to be a guy or two around in, you know, the early summer, and let's take a risk on him. So, a small risk on him. So I don't know if Cam was always the option, but I think that this idea certainly always existed with Belichick, sure.
Alex, last question here. You bring up the weapons or lack thereof for the New England Patriots. How much of that is a conversation in Boston? Because I don't care what moves the Patriots make, that team doesn't seem like they can score 30 points and keep up with the Kansas City Chiefs, so it seems a far-fetched idea to me that they are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. I know that they improved at the QB position today, but they seem deficient everywhere else offensively.
Yes, they do, and fans are very frustrated with that and have been, but you do have to remember, you have six Super Bowls here. If you're Bill Belichick, you have 20 years of excellence. I mean, people here, you know, unsurprisingly, do give him more the benefit of the doubt, and I think the narrative around the Patriots is they're going to try to win on defense. I mean, they have an excellent defense. They were first in the league last year, as I mentioned. They're so deep. I mean, even last year, Belichick, you know, I think one of the most telling quotes that you heard, would ever hear maybe from Belichick, was at the end of the wild card round against Tennessee last year. He said, look, this was a competitive team. We lost five games, but all of them were close games. Four of the five came down to the last possession. And Belichick, he said, an exact quote is, this team was built to win. So I think Belichick views that this is a good enough team to win. And, yeah, the offense isn't there, but they're versatile on defense. Cam can make things happen. I think that fans are definitely taking a wait-and-see approach.
That's Alex Reamer of WEEI joining us to give us the Boston perspective on Cam Newton. It's certainly going to be interesting. I would say this offseason, the top two storylines in the NFL were, where was Cam Newton going to end up? We now have the answer to that question, and will Dak Prescott sign a long-term deal with the Dallas Cowboys? We'll try to get that answer here before July 15th. Coming up momentarily, we'll go inside the mind of the machine, but typically, we play the Biggie What's Beef music when there's a dispute that needs to happen. It sounds like you have a beef with the 4th of July, my friend.
I just think that if you're talking about holidays, it's the holiday where we spend our money the least wisely. As a matter of fact, a lot of people spend money on fireworks and then literally their money goes up in flames. Now, Christmas, you give gifts, you get gifts. It's expensive. Thanksgiving, you got to make the meal, go to the meal, transportation, whatever. It's going to cost you a little bit of money. Even New Year's, you got to get the nice meal with your girl and get your food or whatever, but you end up getting drunk out of it. What do you really get when you pay for fireworks? To me, it's very, very momentary satisfaction that's not worth it. It's the same thing every single year, and there should be a cutoff. I'm not saying that you shouldn't celebrate or shouldn't set off fireworks, because I understand different strokes for different folks. But my girlfriend's sister asked us if we wanted to go to the tent yesterday, and I had to decline because I had a softball game. And then I got a text from my girl saying that her sister spent $800 on fireworks. There's got to be some sort of happy medium between what I'm saying, which are fireworks are kind of ridiculous, and spending $800 on them, right?
It sounds to me that your issue is with firework guy. A lot of things are really good, but fill-in-the-blank guy typically ruins them. Fantasy football guy.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with having a fantasy football team, but we all have watched Red Zone, where every touchdown that happens, the person gets excited because that guy's on their fantasy team. Well, how many fantasy teams that you have? Bracket guy. Nothing wrong with having a nice 5-12 sleeper, but the moment you fill out seven brackets, I don't care about you getting this collection of picks right.
Not that impressive.
Because you have 19 different combinations that could happen. So that's what I think your issue is. I don't think your issue is with the institution of fireworks, because we do that with a lot. Like, what's really the value in spending so much money on a really nice dinner? Like, you're going to be hungry again in 3 hours, but it's the satisfaction of, hey, I want to go eat at this nice place. I would say that's the same thing when it comes to fireworks. You get the enjoyment from actually lighting the fireworks and seeing them and having a nice, fun time with the family. That's the satisfaction. That's what you're paying for. But like anything, it's doing it in moderation, and spending $800 on fireworks is going too far.
I agree with you. It's certain moderation and certain things is absolutely important. I just think that $800 is about, I would say, it's about $705 too much. Like, if you really, really like fireworks, and I'm not talking about firework guy. I'm not talking about the guy that you're describing who puts on the show that's better than the one at the local lake. Like, that guy probably spends $5,000 on the fireworks and puts himself and his entire family in danger. I'm not talking about him. If you like fireworks, I still don't think there's any need to spend over $100 on fireworks, right?
I think spending less than $150 is reasonable. I don't know how many kids you have in this scenario, but you can have a really fun 4th of July for less than $150.
For $150, you're kind of creeping into firework guy territory.
No, I mean, I don't know how
you can
often
put on a hell of a show for $150.
Yeah, I go fireworks shopping every year, so it typically is around like $110, you know? Like, you get a couple of big things that you can light at night, and then those things are $12 a piece, and then you get all this other stuff. Like anything, when you start throwing stuff in there, it adds up, and then when you go up there, like, oh, this is 40% off, and then you put it in there. So I'm just saying is, it adds up a little bit. Less than $150, you've got a good amount of fireworks where you and the family can have a fun evening, but you're not just out here lighting money on fire.
You've got quantity. Do you really have quality? Like, if you spend $150 on fireworks,
You get a little bit of both. You get a little bit of quality and you get a little bit of quantity.
You don't, though. You get a lot of quantity and very little quality. I would say the fireworks, if you spend $150 like you're talking about, then you should go home with a couple of plastic bags full with probably like 40, 50 different products. How many of those are actually that impressive? Opposed to you just light it up and then 5 seconds later, you got to go light another one. I mean, if you're talking about the actual ones that make me go ooh and ah, that's going to cost you quite a bit of money at Big Bob's fireworks stand.
Yeah, but I don't know if like the
she
only-
said they got a firework that was $78. A firework that was... What's it gonna, is a genie going to pop out of this thing?
Yeah, but I would say then, though, you got to be willing to sacrifice a little bit. The fireworks that you're talking about, the only people that get those fireworks are firework guy or professionals. Like, the ones that really excite you, the only person that get that are people that love fireworks way too much. So there's no way to do what you're talking about for cheap. You kind of got to sacrifice. I always tell the story about my pops. My pops always wants to go to Chiefs games. He only wants to spend $30 or $40, but he wants to sit next to Andy Reid. You can't do both. You can't sit next to Andy Reid for $30. You can. It's just going to be a price that you're not willing to pay. You can have an amazing firework display. You're just probably not going to do so for less than $150.
Do you think that, because I'm going to see this go off, I'm going to this guy's fireworks display, so do you think that when he launches the $78 one that I'll come back the next day and tell you that I was actually impressed or that it was a bigger waste of money than I'm talking about right now? Because I can almost guarantee you that I'm not going to be impressed by a $78 firework.
No, I mean, I don't know how much you were into fireworks, so it's kind of hard to answer like your enjoyment. I would say the $78 firework will look like fireworks that you have seen at firework displays. Like whenever you go to Royals games and they pop all those fireworks, I imagine if you buy just one of those fireworks, they are worth $78.
Well, then you wasted your money. Why don't you go see somebody else's show, a professional one? I mean, for $78, it better write the preamble in the sky. It better say, we the people of the United States, in order to form more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. I need all that written in. For $78, it better do something.
I just want to point out that this is the same logic that I apply with you to dates, and that you can do those same things a lot cheaper.
But that's different because you're building a relationship. What relationship are you building with fireworks?
This is a family activity. The person that spends $800 isn't a hermit and popping the fireworks with themselves. They're doing it with their family. They're doing it with their kids. It then becomes an activity for the family.
It's the same reason why you shouldn't spend $150 on every date, which is why I always try to tell you that's the first date. If you spend $800, who are you trying to impress? It's certainly not $800 worth of fun. Look, if you got a new girl and it's the first 4th of July together and you're like, I'm going to put on a show she's never going to forget, then maybe you spend a couple $100. I'm talking about you've been with the wife and you got kids that are away at college. Now they come back for 4th of July and you're going to spend multiple $100 on this thing? That seems a little ridiculous.
I just want to point out that the logic is basically the same logic that you were applying. It's just one you are willing to spend the money on and the other you're not willing to spend the money on.
One, you're still trying to prove yourself on a first date. Maybe firework guy's trying to prove himself, but he shouldn't be.
Believe me, if you're spending that much on fireworks, you are absolutely trying to prove yourself.
You probably drive a Corvette. You
are not spending $800 to impress yourself. You're doing $800 to impress the neighborhood. That's why you're spending the $800.
How lonely is the person that spends $800 and lights off the fireworks by themselves? And ooh and
ahs. I don't think that person exists. I really don't think that person exists.
I feel bad for that dude.
Rob, before we get out of here, let's take a trip inside the mind of the machine.
What do we call you now? Not Cheerington. What do we call you?
I have never been Cheerington.
So who are you?
I've given you my name repeatedly.
Tell me.
I am either hashtag Hope Harrison.
I'm writing down this time.
Or at C.Hope.
Okay. At C.Hope. Okay, that's a terrible nickname.
I am no longer Cassius Clay. I am Muhammad Ali. That's all. I'm not referring to anything else.
Okay. And the reason that he's so optimistic all of a sudden is because he thinks the Royals have a chance to make the playoffs. If you missed earlier in the show.
I don't think they do. I know
okay. They
do.
If you know they do, do you know who's going to be their opening day starter? Or you don't, they haven't told you that kind of information yet. They just told you they're going to make the playoffs.
Danny Duffy.
Danny Duffy? Huh. I didn't see that one coming. All right, earlier today I gave you my worst sports movies. At the very top of it, I had Juana Man, Rocky V, Draft Day, and The Replacements. After thinking about it now for 3 hours, are you sure Rocky V wasn't a bad movie?
It's a great movie if you look at it through the proper context.
Of?
Rocky V is a funny movie. It's not serious by any means. It's not a good boxing movie. It's certainly not a good Rocky movie. It's actually probably the second worst Rocky movie behind Rocky Balboa. But it's entertaining. It's funny. I love Tommy Gunn. That the one scene with the press conference with the fake Don King, the fight at the end of the movie, there's some great scenes in Rocky V.
It's not a comedy, though. Like, remember Blockbuster when those used to exist? You'd walk to the drama section or maybe the sports section. You wouldn't walk to the comedy section to find Rocky
V. They had it mislabeled them.
Oh, okay. So NBA teams are getting ready to go into the bubble, and the NBA, it appears, they're going to let them use social messages on the back of their jersey. To me, this seems like a good idea. What say you?
Yeah, I don't have any issues with that. I mean, it's their jersey. I don't care.
All right.
I just think it's one of those things, like, I'm just not really into this, like, gesture thing. Like, what are you doing? Like, I just think a lot of these actions are just, hey, we did X, Y, and Z. And part of me feels like we've turned some of these things into memes. It just kind of doesn't sit well with me. So I don't really have a strong opinion one way or the other. To me, NBA players are actually doing things. So if this is what they want to continue their platform, I don't have much of an issue with it.
I was just checking out my Twitter timeline. I'm huge on Twitter, at Sean Levine KC. And Mayor Lucas had a post. So he was at the DMV earlier today, and his suggestion was, how about we hire more DMV employees so there would be less lines and get rid of the front license plates on Missouri cars? I've got Kansas tags, so I don't have to deal with this. You've got Missouri tags. Would you be down to get rid of that tag in the front?
Well, I'm black, so the cops are going to pull me over one way or the other.
Okay.
So just certainly given my history. They
front
love,
tags, black
they
tag,
love pulling
matter,
me
huh?
over okay. for the dumbest of stuff.
All right, fair enough. I was actually in the car with you one time.
I wish I could go through all the – I get pulled over for the dumbest thing.
I was with you and
– I got pulled over one time because they said I was driving too close to another car on the highway, and I had to get out of the car.
But what'd you do?
That's what I got pulled over for. They said I was driving too close to the car that was in front of me, and I had to get out of the car.
That seems a little bit ridiculous.
I know. It was wild to me.
Who's a better NFL team? We've been talking a lot about the Buffalo Bills today. You know I like the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who's got a better chance of actually making a playoff run, the Steelers or the Buffalo Bills?
Buffalo. I'm not in on Pittsburgh the way that you are. I think the window's closed for Pittsburgh.
I don't think it's closed. I just think that everything's got to hit. Like, Roethlisberger, he could easily flame out, or he could do what he did last time he was healthy, which was throw for more yards than Patrick Mahomes. James Conner, Juju Smith-Schuster, it's that defense that I really like. New England, more trouble. They lost a third-round draft pick yesterday because, well, they were basically spying again. So,
but the thing about this is, if Cam leaves in free agency, guess what they would get in return? A third-round draft pick.
Is that
pick.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems like they always make it work out.
Because they're smart.
Do you think, though, that they were so smart that this was their plan the entire time with Cam Newton, that we would just wait, nobody else would sign him, nobody would be interested, and then we'd get him for the cheapest possible?
I mean, I think that's been the plan since or after he
Genius.
Got past the NFL draft. Like, after the NFL draft is over and then team's roster is solidified, to me, you could have got Cam at this price a month ago. You could have got Cam for this price a week after the NFL draft. So I don't really know what more you gained over the last couple of weeks by waiting. Like, I don't think that really drove the price down much.
Being the gambling degenerate on this show, I was checking out the NBA lines and the over-unders, the totals for the game are going way down. So it used to be hovering around like 205 to 215, something like that. Vegas says that they're going to make their point totals 5 to 8 points less in upcoming NBA games. Do you think that's because they've had time off and it's going to be sloppy, or because there's no fans there and not a lot of energy?
I actually read a story and they said they don't know who's in shape yet and that they'll adjust once they know who's in shape and who's not in shape.
Yeah, I think that it's one of those things where early on, it's probably going to be pretty ugly basketball because not only have they had time off, but also they've had to deal with a bunch of different stuff and family issues, and they've gotten used to playing in front of, oh, I don't know, fans. I mean, their entire life. I wonder the last time that these NBA players played games like this in front of nobody. Like, they haven't played, a lot of these guys haven't played in the summer league for
open runs, though. I mean, they play a lot of pickup basketball with each other.
Which is crazy because those always find their way to my YouTube timeline. Where are these places where James Harden and LeBron James and Ben Simmons are just running at the local gym?
I don't know if you like really want to know, but they
play
a lot of times on the campus of UCLA, the Drew League. There's a couple of like really high fitness places in LA that they play. There's one place called Lifetime Fitness. They play there a lot.
Can anybody get in on those games? Like if I was a member, I got next?
You could. I mean, I'm saying like your membership fee probably wouldn't be what you would want to pay, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that would go well. Oh, did you see they're about to knock down the Luxor in Las Vegas?
I did not know that.
Yeah, it doesn't look good for the Luxor.
Which one's that?
The giant pyramid.
Oh, that's that one? Okay, mm-hmm. I thought so. I wasn't sure. 100%.
Excalibur not looking good either, man.
When does that go?
They haven't completely decided, but it's about 80-20, the percent of chances that the Luxor is going to be gone here by the end of the year.
Oh, man.
Yeah. RIP, maybe. That's it.
Thanks so much for listening to The Drive. Back again tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.